Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hey everyone, I'm Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I spoke with Dr. Anthony Gabriel, Chief Operating Officer at Radiology Partners. Anthony shared the importance of health entities having physicians in the C-suite or executive levels in their health organizations as Radiology Partners does. He and I also discussed what type of training a health professional needs to get to this level and some decisions he's made as a health professional in the C-suite.
Hello, Anthony. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for tuning into the C-suite.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
No problem. So to get started, can you first tell me just what it is that you do and what is the mission of Radiology Partners?
So I am the Chief Operating Officer for Radiology Partners, and our mission is to transform radiology. What that means to us is a lot of different things, but probably most importantly is improving the quality of care delivered to the patients that we serve and the value that's delivered to the healthcare system by the work that we do.
Awesome, great. Now, how long have you been with Radiology Partners?
I've been with Radiology Partners since 2012. I'm one of the founders. So when we started off, it was myself and Rich Whitney, our CEO. And it was the two of us with, I like to describe it as an idea and some PowerPoint. That's all we had back then. But since then, I've managed to grow it into the largest radiology practice in the United States.
Oh, that's wonderful. So now at Radiology Partners, there are physicians in the C-suite or at the executive level of your organization. Can you explain why it's important for healthcare entities to have physicians in the C-suite?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think it's paramount that healthcare organizations have physicians in leadership. So here at Radiology Partners, we do that in a number of ways. First of all, is around our operating model. And our operating model, really, you could describe it, we describe it as one practice locally led, is our operating model in a nutshell. And what that means to us is that despite the fact that we're one big practice with about 1,600 physicians today, we actually operate as a little under 50 different local practices. Each one of those local groups has got its own board, it's got its own physician president, it's got an administrator that supports that group. And that president and the board, those are key leaders. Those people are making all the local operating decisions about how that local physician practice runs. So developing them as strong leaders is really, really important to our success because as those local practices go, so goes the national practice. So that's one area where we've invested in and have strong physician leadership, local operations. But that's not enough because we're also one practice. That's part of the principle, one practice locally led. And on the one practice piece, I really view it as being, how do we best serve and support those local groups? So for us, we have physicians that are involved in just about every support function that RP has. So what kinds of things might that be? What might a local practice need help with, really benefit from scale? Well, it might be things like revenue cycle. You know, how do they best bill, collect, contract with payers? It might be information technology. Radiology is the most tech-heavy specialty in medicine. Almost all the work we do is done digitally. And so we've got a couple of physicians involved in IT and artificial intelligence that have dedicated time where they're part of that function. They're part of the information technology group, helping to develop systems that will then be used by each one of the local practices. So we've got physician executives there. Physician recruiting is an area where there's a physician involved in leadership. Certainly the development of our clinical programs, kind of the most classic place where you would have doctors. Yes, we have that too. But I think you'll note that like a lot of these other functions, and in fact, even kind of what got me to meet you for the first time was a physician who runs our public relations group. who's one of our radiologists. And so lots of docs that are involved in leadership. So
that's now, awesome.
Yeah. Now, why is that important? So I don't think you have to have all physicians in leadership, because I certainly think there's a lot of knowledge that a seasoned executive can bring that's helpful. It could be a physician that has that knowledge. It just takes a lot of experience, a lot of time in the role in order to develop that. And we have a lot of non-physician executives as well that have spent decades working in healthcare in whatever function they're in, whether it's healthcare IT or healthcare rev cycle or healthcare finance. And we have people in there and they've developed a lot of knowledge, but bringing that experience about what it's like to directly take care of a patient and also what it's like to directly work with other doctors so that you know what it's like to be part of a team of physicians and where our specialty's role is via those other specialties and the hospital itself is really, really important. And having those physician executives brings that context to decisions that we make and investments that we make.
Oh, definitely. So just a lot more relatable to, you know, other partners and who you guys serve. Yes. Awesome. Now, if you can tell me more specifically on radiology partners, which you may have touched on a bit, how does having a physician-led organization benefit radiology partners in specific?
Yeah. So I think a couple things, right? So first, I'll start with the local, because I kind of broke up the way we have physicians involved across the organizations into that local operating decisions and the national support functions. And at the local level, healthcare is still a very local business. The way medicine is practiced, the way healthcare is delivered in Los Angeles, it's not exactly the same as the way it is in West Texas. And we have radiologists in both of those areas. And medicine is not practiced exactly the same ways in both of those areas. Certainly at a high level, it's not radically different, but how the relationships are with the hospitals, with the other physicians, with the patients, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. And so from a local perspective, those doctors that are in those different geographies, they know best the market that they're in. They know best what their hospital needs. They know best what their referring physicians need, what their patients need. And they're best qualified, best positioned to make the decisions that are right. Now, we have to have some system to make sure that like the practices, and they're not doing anything completely crazy, which we do. We have metrics and things like that that we're able to look at. But by and large, those doctors make better decisions on their own locally than there would be if there was some sort of national infrastructure, national decision-making body. So that's one area where I think very specifically it's enabled us to make better decisions locally. The second area is really around that national infrastructure that I talked about. And the doctors that we have in those roles are able to bring examples of how certain technologies might be used, how a certain process, whether it be in HR or finance or growth or whatever function it is, what's going to resonate most with other doctors? What are our doctors going to benefit from the most? Because they've been in that seat. They've sat down and they've taken care of patients. They've been reading CT scans. And so they're able to provide that insight so that we make the best possible investments for our team.
Got it. Thank you. Now, what type of training does a health professional, like a clinician, need to get to the C-suite level?
Boy, that is a great question.
I know you said it was a pretty extensive process, but...
Well, it is. And I think that unfortunately, it's only now that particularly for physicians that we're really the healthcare education system, the medical education system is beginning to realize that, hey, we have to start to do some leadership training for our doctors. Certainly when I trained, I'm not going to tell you how far back that was, but when I trained, there wasn't any real leadership development that occurred for me at all. In my medical education. So all through medical school, all through residency, I didn't get any of that. And still, even now today, most physicians don't get much in the way of leadership development. So where are they going to get that? I mean, the classic thing a lot of our doctors think about is, well, I'm going to go and get my MBA. That's certainly what I thought when I decided to get more into business. I went and got my MBA. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll come out of that and I'll be an effective leader, effective business person. And I think I learned a lot of the terminology. I learned some of the basics, but the way I kind of compare it is I was no sooner a business person when I got my MBA as, you know, I was really not a doctor when I first graduated from medical school. You need a lot more training, right, a lot more time before you're able to do that. So where do you get that? And I think that a lot of organizations, certainly not all, unfortunately, but a lot of healthcare organizations have started to realize that we need to invest in our physicians to develop them to be great leaders for the ones that are interested in that. We certainly also need a lot of doctors that are just great doctors and great at taking care of patients. In fact, that's going to be the majority of the physicians in any healthcare organization. But for those that have an interest and an aptitude to advance, we have to create programs where they can get experience, they can get coaching and feedback, they can get didactic education about how to be a more effective leader. We have tried to do that here at RP through a program that we call RP University. That RP University has got multiple components. It's got some didactic components. So we have courses that we teach with regards to, some of them are very tactical about how to manage a local practice, for instance. Some of them are softer skills though, like team leadership, self-leadership, things like that, that are a little bit softer, a little bit more subjective. And this is really different for a lot of doctors, where you come out of a very hard science training type environment where you're learning a lot of facts and have to pass a test. I don't know of any kind of test I can send a leader into and determine how great a leader they're going to be. And so we don't have a test, but we do put them through these courses. And then we try to get them some more experiential type of training, or it's not necessarily training, but just giving them some exposure. And we have a number of physicians right now, about a dozen, that are coming into our office of the chief medical officer. Some of them have been in positions like that for a little while. There's a few new ones that we had just recently created. And those physicians are paired up with experienced non-physician or sometimes experienced physician executives that have got a lot more experience. And these are physicians that are saying, okay, I'm gonna take 20 or 40% of my time, 1 or 2 days a week, and I'm not gonna practice medicine those days. Instead, I'm gonna be a business leader. And giving them that opportunity to have sort of time in the saddle to learn what that role's like and to develop their skills, get some real experience. Not unlike what you might do in medical training as a resident. Finally, to kind of go along with some of that experiential stuff, a number of our physician leaders have executive coaches, because getting some outside feedback from somebody who knows how to do this, giving them that leadership development feedback so they can be, and this is a coach that's focused on their executive role, not their doctor role, is really, really important.
Now, this is a bit more of a repetitive question, but maybe to dig a little deeper. But first, this is more out of my curiosity. You would think in healthcare, most organizations would be physician-led and C-suite positions, but like you said, not all of them are, and they don't have to be. Again, because there are some professionals that are not physicians, yet are still successfully running their own, you know, health organizations. So are you able to provide more examples of how physicians can make business decisions just as much as someone who's not a physician and has successfully ran a health organization?
I certainly think that, for instance, there's a number of spots where that really makes a difference. I'll start with the information technology area. Within the informational technology area, I think that having physicians helping make decisions there really gives them the perspective of what that user is going to be doing, what that physician is going to be doing when they use the software. What are going to be the most impactful functions that we can bring in so that the doctors that are using it get the most benefit? Those things aren't always apparent to non-physicians that are making those types of decisions. Similarly, we have a physician involved, like spending right now 20% of their time on physician recruiting, an area that is really important to us. We're hiring approximately 300 doctors per year because we're growing so quickly. And having that doctor there really helps. She is working with other physician recruiters that are non-physicians, full-time physician recruiters. Really, she can sit down, listen to their interactions that they're having with doctors that are calling, and give them feedback right away about how that conversation should be different, what things resonate, what things don't resonate. Also, it's great because she's got a lot of credibility with our local practices. So a key part of the recruiting process is making sure that our local practices are very involved with interviewing and, you know, selling those doctors on why it's great to be part of RP. And she's great at being able to explain to them what they have to do, what kinds of things are going to be important for them to be able to bring those doctors in. And also, when it comes to a planning process, like each year we set a budget and we have planning around what we're going to do in recruiting, which investments are going to be most important for us? Is it going to be more advertising to get people to come in? Is it going to be investment in having other physicians spend more time with doctors? You know, what are the things that are going to resonate and be most impactful to our success in that area? So those are just a couple of examples where it makes a lot of sense for us to have doctors involved.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Now, is there a specific health entity you think should be physician-led the most? I mean, although all health entities would benefit from it, but.
Well, I think that the sort of obvious answer there is the health entities that have more doctors either working there or very closely affiliated really benefit a lot more from having physicians in leadership roles. So for instance, clearly a physician organization like ours. There's other large physician organizations out there. That's like the obvious one. But also hospitals where lots of doctors practice certainly has a lot of value to doing that. I think those are probably the most important spots to have lots of physician involvement.
Okay, great. Thanks. So focusing on radiology partners, as chief of operations, what were some of the business decisions you had to make for your organization based on the rise of COVID?
So COVID was tough for us, very tough. A lot of the things that we do in radiology are related to elective procedures that people get in other parts of the healthcare system. A lot of the imaging that gets done is elective. Certainly some of it is emergent, but a lot of it's elective. And elective procedures really fell off, especially kind of that late March, April, first part of May timeframe. People were very scared back then. Nobody really knew what the impact was gonna be. Lots of hospitals were saying, stop anything that's elective because we need to make sure we keep beds open to take care of the really sick COVID patients that may come. All of which I think were appropriate decisions for them to make, but it resulted in our volume, the amount of images that we read, dropping off by a little more than 50%. So to have a business that's reading close to 30 million exams a year go to a business that's reading 15 million exams a year, well, that requires a lot of changes. Revenue changes dramatically. You don't need all the people you've got. So there was a lot of decisions that we had to make very quickly in order to manage that new sudden decrease in workload and to conserve cash because of the fact that our revenue got cut in half. Very, very quickly. But we did that the same way we do all the other things. So I mentioned one practice locally led, 50 local groups, practice president each one. The practice presidents and boards in each one of the local groups were the ones who made the decisions about exactly how to adjust their schedules, exactly how to adjust compensation. Now, that's like dealing with a 50% reduction in revenue is sort of a black diamond management challenge, even for the most experienced business person. We were asking all of our physician presidents to have a mixed level of amount of business experience to make those calls. But so what did we do there? Well, we provided a lot of support. We had a number of physicians on three doctors that had a lot more experience on a central leadership group that included me, as well as some other operating executives. To help support them with communications materials, coaching about how to communicate to their practices, et cetera. We also brought in people from human resources and legal because there's a lot of like employment law, contractual issues, things like that. When you have to make these decisions that a lot of them really didn't know. And so they needed support. And so we provided guidance to them in that area. And then finally, we provided a lot of analytics support because they needed to understand, well, just exactly, I know our P's volumes are out 50%, but I need to know what's going on in my local practice. Because what we saw was it was down 50% nationally, but that doesn't mean it was down 50% everywhere. For instance, we have practices up in the Northeast in the Philadelphia and New York area they weren't down 50%. They were down 75%. On the other hand, other markets weren't down quite as much, average to 50%, but each local group needed to make local decisions. So we provided them with analytics support and schedule design support so that somebody could come in, show them the numbers, say, hey, this is what's happening to your business. Here's how many radiologists typically come into work every day. Here's how we can adjust that. And then finally, to help support and protect our RADs, because especially at that time, we really didn't know what we needed to do with regards to how contagious and how the virus was transmitting. We delivered close to a couple hundred radiologist workstations. These are the big four monitor computer workstations that a radiologist uses to read exams, and delivered that to our radiologist homes in places where they could work from home. And so we enabled a lot of our RADs to be able to work from home very, very quickly. Also that required some IT support with the hospital as well sometimes, but we enabled a lot of our radiologists to be able to provide the same care that they were doing before, but from the safety of their home, if they were able to do that. So.
All right. Well, actually that was my last question. So if there's anything, any questions you didn't think I touched on that you would like to.
No, I just, hopefully for those of you that are listening to this, if you haven't embarked on a formal program to really try to get physicians involved in leadership in your organization, if you're a healthcare organization, I really encourage you to do it. And it is some effort, and it does require some investment. I think the idea of getting people some real experience and getting them that outside coaching as well to learn some of those skills that they probably didn't learn in their medical training is really important. And don't be afraid to hold them accountable just like you would another executive. In my mind, they are the smartest, most hardworking, and most experienced in our field, some of the most highest levels of that in our organization. And I think the same is true for most healthcare organizations, and to not take full advantage of that is really you're not operating, firing on all cylinders if you're not able to pull those people into the leadership of your organization.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I guess also, since you said, you know, you have to invest in some of these programs or, you know, to educate your employees, do you know, like, I don't know how to ask this, I guess, what they should invest or how they would invest into some of these programs?
Well, I think there's a couple ways to start. One, there's a number of places that have developed physician leadership education programs. I think those are a really good place to start to expose some doctors to the didactic education that they might need. Certainly it helps them get some of the language of business so they're able to be more conversant with executives on the team. So there's some of those that you can find on Google. The other thing that I'd encourage you to do to really get some of the softer skills, the EQ skills that are so important to be successful as a leader, is to invest in getting some coaching time for some of your docs. And there's a number of firms that are doing that as well. Somebody that they can work with on a regular basis to start to work on some of those soft skills. Because obviously being an effective leader, being an effective business person, it's not all about understanding operating metrics and P&Ls. It's a lot about how you relate to people, how you influence others, how you're perceived as part of the team. And it's really difficult to get that sort of experience and insight out of a course. You can certainly start there, but getting that one-on-one coaching feedback is really helpful for a lot of physicians.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Anthony, for your time. I appreciate it. Definitely informed me a lot more about a more physician-led organization. So thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.